Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Ayin Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Ayin Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We had learned in the previous shiur, in the Mishnah, this case was where a mloiva made a partial payment to a malva, and now, what do we do? This document says that I owe $1,000, and I gave $500. Machlokes, Reb Yossi and Reb Yehuda. Reb Yossi's opinion was that we give a shaver. A shaver is written, a receipt is written for the loiva to hold. Reb Yehuda's opinion was that we rewrite the shtar, machlif. We rewrite the shtar. And we began, yes, and the Gemara began yesterday, Reb Huna Amar Rav, saying that Rav didn't agree neither with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi nor with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, Rav's psak was the Bezdin rip up the shtar and write a new shtar with the original date. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna, says Rav Nachman to Rav Huna, Vamalei, it was Rabbi Yemri Ba'abed that said it to Rav Huna, Ishmilei L'Rav HaBrais L'Tanya, had Rav heard the Brais that we're going to learn, that the Braisa says, Edim Mekarim Sashtar, that Edim rip up the Shtar, the Koysun Lashtar Achav is Manrishin, and rewrite the Shtar with the first date, have a Hodabay, he would not necessarily have to say that he doesn't agree with Reb Yehuda nor Reb Yossi. His position could be consistent with the opinion of Reb Yehuda. And there are many pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. The Rashbam and the Yad Rumah explain as follows. That the Gemara at this point assumes that according to Rav, there is no nafgamina if it's the Edim who are rewriting the Shtar or it's Bezdin who is rewriting the Shtar. No matter who's rewriting the Shtar, the halacha is they can rewrite the Shtar and rewrite the Shtar with the first date. And therefore the Gemara is saying, now that we have a Braisa that indicates that Rabbi Yehuda says that the shtar could be rewritten with the first date, Rav could follow that Braisa. That's the way Rashbam explains. Tosfos and Ramban says that Rav indeed was saying that only Bezdin is allowed to rewrite the shtar with the original date. However, what the Gemara is saying is that Rav Nachman or Rav Yirmiya said to Rav Huna that if Rav would have heard that Rav Yehuda and the Braisa says that the Shtar may be rewritten not only by the Bezdin but also by Edim, he would have concurred with such a pshat. And that's why the Gemara is saying we no longer need to say the Rav doesn't agree with any pshat, but rather, the halacha is that the Bezdin could rewrite the shtar with the first date and Edim also. And the Gemara's question is that it seems that Rav could follow that opinion. So why are we saying the Rav doesn't follow anybody's opinion? Amalei, says the Gemara, no. Shmilei, Rav was very well aware of this Braisa, Vlei Hadabei, but he didn't agree with this Braisa. This Braisa that indicates that both Bezdin or Edim have the ability to rewrite the shtar, Rav, with the first date, Rav doesn't agree. Rav differentiates between a Bezdin and Edim. Ask the Rishonim. We learned the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Samaches. The Mishnah discussed a case where a shtar was erased or was about to be erased, and before it got completely erased, it was brought to Bezdin. It was brought to Bezdin to be Mekuyim. And according to Tosfos' understanding of that Mishnah, Bezdin has the right to rewrite the Shtar, but only with the current date. So we see, asked the Gemara, that the Mishnah teaches us that even Bezdin is only allowed to rewrite the Shtar with a current date, not with the earlier date? Answer the Rishonim, there's a fundamental difference between that Mishnah and our case. In our case, we have both the Malva and the Loiva standing here, agreeing to the events. That's when everybody, Rav, certainly Rav Yehuda, are of the opinion that the Shtar could be rewritten with the original date. There, however, it's not referring to a situation that the Malva and the Loiva are standing there. It's only the Malva who comes in and says that his Shtar was, that is, something happened to the Shtar. That's when Bezdin, even Bezdin, who's rewriting the Shtar, can only use the current date, not the original date. So again, right now we're saying that there is a machloikus between Rav and Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rav, we could rewrite the Shtar with the original date. Only Bezdin has a right to do that. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha would be that even Edom may do that. And the Gemara explains why Rav makes a distinction between Bezdin and Edom. Bishlam Badina Alim Lefkum Moina. Since there's a halacha of Hefker Bezdin Hefker that makes Bezdin have a specific strength, that's why Bezdin could backdate the Shtar to its original date. Ela Edom Shosu Shlichuson. Edom who have completed their shliches, Chayzrim Vayisim Shlichuson, can they again rewrite the Shtar? And therefore, Rav says there's a difference between Bezdin and Edom. So Bezdin, the Gemara says, has a power called Hefker Bezdin Hefker. From here, we seem to see a question that has been discussed. When we say Hefker Bezdin Hefker, does that apply to every Bezdin or only to a Bezdin Choshev, only to a Bezdin that has Smicha? From our Gemara, it's quite clear that the din of Hefker Bezdin Hefker refers to every Bezdin, because our Gemara doesn't make a distinction what type of Bezdin it is. Furthermore, it seems from our Gemara, a question that we just discussed recently, when we spoke about the concept of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, there's a question how to understand Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Everybody understands Hefker Bezdin Hefker to say that even though an item ostensibly belongs to me, Bezdin has the ability, given their authority of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, to take that item away from me and say it's not mine, to be mafker that item. The question, however, that comes up is, does Bezdin have the ability to take an item that's mine and give it to someone else? Some Rishonim suggest that Hefker Bezdin Hefker doesn't have that strength, but it seems from our Gemara that the Gemara uses the wording Bishlama Beidina Alima Lafkuma Moinet. It seems that they could take the money away from me and give it to someone else. And this may be a proof that Hefker Bezdin Hefker goes even further than just saying I'm no longer the owner, but it even goes on to say that it becomes the property of someone else. However, Edom, the Gemara is saying, are different, and by Edom the halacha is that once they wrote the Shtar, they can't write the Shtar to someone else. And the question is, why are Edom different? So the understanding of the Rashbam is that Edom, once they did their job, once they signed the Shtar, their position in this entire situation ends, and therefore they have no right to write Shtaris anymore. That's how the Rashbam learns. The Ramban, following the same line of reasoning as the Rashbam, says that if Edom were to write a shtar again, they have no authority, because it would be a situation of mipihem v'loy mipiksovam. Tosfos, however, takes a different approach. Tosfos says that if Edom today were allowed to write shtaris with an earlier date, it would look like a shtar mugdam. It would look like a shtar with a pre-date that's dated with an earlier date. And we've learned, and we will learn more extensively later in our shir, that a shtar mugdam is possible. Says the Ritva, according to the understanding of the Rashbam, that the issue here is that the issue why Edom may not write a shtar again is because once they finished and they've signed the shtar, they no longer have any right to be involved here. Let's say we would have a situation that one aide signed the shtar, but another did not yet sign the shtar, and between the signature of one aid and the signature of the second aid, the shtar got lost or erased, there says the Ritva that the first aid would be allowed to re-sign his name. Because what is the whole pshat of the Rashbam? The once the Edom finish their job, they sign the shtar, they have no rights, they're finished here. But if the shtar hasn't been completed, because only one aid signed, and not the second aid, so the first aid is still relevant. And therefore, says the Rashbam, says the Ritva, under such circumstances, the aid would be allowed to re-sign his name at a later date. Another question that comes up, again, based around this question, is a shayla that's actually machloikus rishonim. What would be the halacha if a shtar was ripped and the Edom made the Edom and the Malva brings that ripped shtar to the Edom and asks them to rewrite the shtar with today's date? With today's date, may the Edom do so or not? The Ravid, the Meiri are of the opinion that they may. The Nemuke Yosef says that they may not. And in fact, the Ramah says, like the Pesach of the Nemuke Yosef, that the Edom may not. Why? Either not doing anything detrimental to anyone. The Malva is the one that's asking that the Shtar be written. And the Malva is asking that the current date be written. So why shouldn't they be able to do it? The answer is, as the Rashbam teaches us, that the Edom, once they finish signing the Shtar, have no authority here and have no right to write Shtaris, even if they're not detrimental to the Loiva in any way. Veloi asked the Gemara, is that true that a Shtar may not be written over and over? Vom Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Edom Kosim, Afil Asish Saris Azadachas, the same Edom could write 10 Shtaris on the same field. So the Rishonim point out, the Ravid asked this question, that why couldn't the Gemara answer that it's referring to a situation that the Edom are writing 10 shtaris, but they're always writing the later date. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the Edom could write with the earlier date. This Gemara is not a question, this opinion of Rav is not a steer to that, because here we're writing the current date. So we follow the opinion of the Rishonim that we just quoted, the opinion of the Nemuke Yosef, that says that Edom can't rewrite a shtar even with the current date. That teretz, that the Gemara, we could understand why the Gemara didn't give that teretz. Another shot that the Rishonim suggest is that maybe the Gemara could have given this teretz, but the Gemara gives another teretz. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that here, when the Gemara uses the words Edom Kaisma Fila Sarah Shtaris Al Sada Achas, it seems that they're all writing the same original date. And that's why the Gemara didn't want to answer that's referring to a situation that they're all writing the current date. So again, if Rav is saying that Edom don't have the same rights as Beis Din, and Edom can't sign a shtar again once they're finished, so how do we understand this din that Rav says Edom Kaisman Fil Shtaris Asada Achas? Says the Gemara of Yosef Mishtar Matana. Where is there a concern by a shtar being rewritten in a situation where there's a lien created by the writing of the shtar? And therefore we have to be careful about the dating of the shtar. But a shtar matana are not there's no lien typically on a shtar matana. The only point of a shtar matana is to prove that this item now belongs to the receiver of the gift. So therefore we don't have to be worried about the date, and therefore the halacha is that Edom could replace such a shtar. Rava says it could be even talking about a shtar halvah. It's talking about a case, b'shtar shein by achrayis, a shtar that doesn't carry any lien on it, and therefore it could be rewritten because the date doesn't really have any meaning, and therefore even Edom could rewrite such a shtar. The Mefarshim explain, what is the machlokes of Rabbi Yosef and Rabba? Some say there's actually no machlokes. They're just giving different examples. Rabbi Yosef is giving an example of shtar matana. Rabba is giving an example of shtar shem b'chrayis. But But I did see some Mefarshim say that there's actually Machloikis. And what is the Machloikis based on? It's based on Achrayis Torah Sofer. Rabbi Yosef's opinion is that even if the Shtar Halva doesn't have Achrayis in it, but as we learned the other day, the Halach is Achrayis Torah Sofer, even if it's missing, it really belongs there. And therefore, the only example he could come up with was Shtar Matana. Rava, however, holds that Achrayis Lav Torah Sofer, and there's no Achrayis clause in the Shtar Halva, there is no din of Achrayis. And therefore, it's referring to a Shtar Shein by Achrayis, even though it's a Shtar Halva. As to Rishonim, we just learned a sugya that discussed a Shtar Halva that was lost. Can it be replaced? A Shtar Mekach that was lost, can it be replaced? And the Gemara said that a Shtar Halva that was lost cannot be replaced. Yet our Gemara is seeing that a Shtar Halva can be replaced. Again, give the Rishonim the teretz that we gave earlier. There we're referring to a situation where the Malva came in on his own and said the Shtar Halva was lost. That's when we're saying that it can't be replaced. Here we're referring to a situation where the Malva and Loiva are coming together. That's why the Halacha is different. So the Gemara at the beginning of our Shia said there's a Brice that says that according to Yehuda, that if somebody makes a partial payment, the Shtar is replaced. And the Brice said according that it makes no difference who's writing this new shtar, whether it's Bezdin or Edim, they write a new shtar with the original date. My Braisa. Where do we find such a Braisa? The Tanya, Hareisha Yonoshim Bayel Zuz, if somebody owed somebody else $1,000. Or Parmen Chamesh Me'ezuz, and he paid up 500 of those $1,000, Edim Mekarens a shtar, the Edim rip up the original document, the Kosen Lo Shtar Acher, and a new shtar is written. However, Mizman Rishon, what date is put into it? The original date. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So this price is very clear that it's Edom who rewrite the shtar with the original date. Rabbi Yosi Omer, shtar zeh yimunuf m'koymai. The original shtar should remain where it was. V'yichtuv shayver, and they should write a receipt that the loiva has to hold that he paid up 500 of the $1,000. And there are two reasons why a shayver, why Rabbi Yossi says I prefer this method of a shayver being written. Echas kedei shiachov lefarei. It puts pressure on the loiva to pay up. And I saw two pshatim drushan. What does that mean? That now the loiva has pressure. One pshat is, as we learned in the Mishnah, now that the loiva has the shayver that he has to watch, because if he loses the shayver, the Malva still has a debt, has a shtar that says he owes $1,000. That puts a pressure on him to pay up. The Ramban says a different pshat, a very interesting pshat. The Ramban says that people, a person who owes money, is more likely to feel the need to pay off his debt when it's a larger sum versus when it's a smaller sum. So says the Ramban in understanding Rabbi Yossi's opinion. If we're going to rip up, like Rabbi Yehuda says, the original document and replace it with a new document, the original document says that the loiva owes $1,000. The new document will say that the loiva only owes $500. The loiva will not feel such a pressure anymore to pay up. It's not such a significant amount of money. Whereas, if the original document is still there, and the original document says that he owes a very large sum, that the existence of a document that says that the loiva owes a large sum of money would have put pressure on the loiva to pay up. V'achas, and another reason, says Reb Yossi, why I don't like the idea of ripping up shtaris, is k'day sh'yigbim is my rishon, because I want to be able to collect from the original date. Ask the Gemara, but then we just learned the Brice for Rabbi Yehuda Nami Mizman Rishon Kamer. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that even if we're ripping up the shtar and replacing it with a new shtar, the new shtar has the original date. Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand Rabbi Yossi. Hach Kamalei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. This is what Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Yehuda. Im Mizman Rishon Kamer, if you say that the new shtar has the original date, There's only one reason that I disagree with you. The reason that I like that the pressure is created, and you don't agree with that. If, however, the second, if you say that the new shtar has the second date, there are two reasons why I disagree with you. One is because I want the pressure to remain on the live up, and number two, because I feel it's unfair that there should be a new shtar with a later date, which is gives the liver an unfair advantage. Tan Rabban, shtar shizmanu kosa b'shabbos. If there's a shtar, and the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara, the shtar is dated with a secular date, and when we make a calculation, we realize that the shtar was the date of that shtar was a Shabbos, or the date of that shtar was a Sarba Tishrei. The date of that shtar was Yom Kippur. So now the question is this a valid shtar or not? So we say shtam uchahu. We establish that it's a shtam uchah and it's kosher de Reb Yehuda. From here, the Paiskim want to discuss the question if one is allowed to use a secular date. And it seems from here that a secular date may be used, because that's how the shtar was written, with a secular date, as the Rashbam explains. And the question that comes up, that the Paiskim discuss, are we allowed to use the year system that we are using currently, which really has religious connotations because it's related to the birth of Isai Ish. Some Paiskim actually say that one should try to avoid using that dating system of the year because of the religious connotation it represents. I saw from Moshe Sternbuch in the Shaias HaTshuvos, Tshuvos HaNogos, where he says that when somebody uses that system of writing years, he certainly doesn't have any religious connotation in mind, and therefore the halacha is that it's fine. However, I did see a tshuva from the Ramshik. The Ramshik discusses a situation, shaila, if in a cemetery there were people who wanted to put on the matzavis and the tombstones the secular date of the passing of the nifter. Says the Ramshik, even if we're going to have a discussion if one is allowed to use a secular date, that secular date system or not, that's only everybody in his own private business. I feel it's mutter, I hold it's osur. But here when we're referring to a cemetery, which is a place of many people, families, if there are people who are against the writing of such dates on his tombstone, therefore it's offensive to those people, and therefore no one in that cemetery or in that portion of the cemetery is allowed to write the secular date on the shtar. Furthermore, I saw from Kiva Eger, based on this Gemara, that from here we see that that we're assuming that this was a shtar mu'ucher, that the date that the shtar was written on was really earlier, but the kinyan was only for a later date, which came out on Shabbos on Yom Kippur. And we see that even though the halach is that one is not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos on Yom Kippur, still, if you make a kinyan before Shabbos, that it should become effective on Shabbos, from here we see that the halach is that it's mutter. In fact, the Gra says also, from this Gemara we see, that where it is a mistake in a shtar, that it's obvious that it was just a mistake, where, let's say the cipher, when he put down the date, forgot to put in the words, L'briyas ha'olam, anywhere where it's obvious that it was just an honest mistake, the shtar does not get disqualified because of that. So we're assuming the Gemara says that it was a shtar mu'ucher, and it's kosher. Ask the Rishonim, why are we so quick to assume that it was a shtar mu'ucher? We're mitzvah Shem going to learn a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. that if Edom come to Bezdin, and one Eid says, and we know that the Edom to be considered kosher Edom, the testimony that they give has to be consistent. And one Eid says that what he's saying testimony to happened the second day of the month. And the other Eid says it happened on the third day of the month. The Gemara says that that Eid is still to be considered a kosher Eid, because it's the kind of mistake that people make. So the question here is, why don't we assume that this was an honest mistake? They just got confused with the date. So I saw a number of teruts. One teruts says that the Gemara there in Masechta Sanhedrin says we only say that people aren't sure of the date. They make these kind of mistakes at the beginning of the month because they weren't sure exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. But once most of the month has passed, there is no way of explaining that mistake that way. And our Gemara is referring to any situation of a wrong date. Another teretz that I saw the Rishonim give is here we're referring to Yom Kippur. So people may not know exactly what today's Hebrew date is, but everybody knows when it's Yom Kippur. A third teretz is that there is referring to two Edom who are offering oral testimony. So we say that when two Edom offer oral testimony, they may not necessarily recognize exactly what date it is. Here we're, however, referring to a situation of a written shtar. A written shtar has a different halacha. So Yehuda says that we assume that this is a shtar me'ucher, which, as we've learned and will learn in Mitzvah Shem, a shtar me'ucher is kosher. Ask the Rashbam and the Yad Ramah, many Rishonim ask the obvious question. We could say that the shtar is kosher, we could say that the shtar is posel, because it was a shtar mugdam. So why do we say automatically that it's shtam mocha and kosher? Why don't we say perhaps that it's a shtam mugdam and it's possible? So one teretz that Rishonim give is because since there's a rule, Edom hachasumim al shtar nasa kmi shenefkur edusim bebezdin, that whenever we see a shtar with Edom sign on it, we can't safely assume that it's a kosher shtar. And in fact, many Rishonim suggest that that's the reason why the shtar that we're referring to here has to be a shtar mekuyim. So that's why, in such a situation, we assume that the shtar is a kosher shtar. Either dating system is wrong, we'll say it was because there was a mistake made. There was a mistake made because it's a shtar me'ucher. That's one pshat that I saw in the Rishonim. Another pshat I saw in the Rishonim is that if indeed this shtar represents that it was written on the wrong date, that means the Edom, by signing such a shtar, that it was done by shtar mugdam, the Edom by signing such a shtar are actually testifying that they are Rishoyim, that they signed the shtar mugdam. And we know there's a halacha of Ein Odom Mesim Atzmei Rasha. So to avoid such a problem, we assume that it was a shtar mocher. However, the Rishonim go on to ask, we've learned many times, because of the halacha of Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya, there's a halacha Yad Baal Shtar Al Tachtoina. If I'm holding a shtar, if I'm a malva, and there's a question how to interpret the shtar, it's always interpreted to my against me. Because with this shtar, I want to take money from someone else. Hamotzi mechaveiro olav haraya. So ask the Rishonim, if we follow the concept of Yad Baal Shtar Al Tachtoina, and there's a question, should we say that this shtar is a shtar mugdam or shtar me'ucher? Certainly we should say it's a shtar mugdam, hamotzi mechaveiro olav haraya, and I won't be able to collect with the shtar. Answer the Rishonim. A very important concept. They say, when do we say Yad Baal Shtar Al Tachtoina? When we have a shtar, it's a good shtar. The question is, does the shtar entitle me to $1,000 or does it entitle me to $500? So Yad Baal Shtar Al Tachtoina says, Hamotz Mechaver Olav Haraya, and I only get $500. But when the question is not how much, but where the question is the shtar a kosher shtar or not? There, of course, we don't say Yad Baal Shtar Tachtoina. On the contrary, we assume that the shtar is a kosher shtar. Rabbi Yossi Poisel. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says the Gemara says such a shtar is possible. Om Rabbi Yehuda, v'loi ma'is bolo for nechab tzipayri. Wasn't there such an incident that came to you in tzipayri? V'chsharta, and you said it was valid? Om aloi kichsharti b'zeh chsharti. When I said it was kosher, it was referring to such a situation. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Namriz Akama. Rabbi Yehuda was also referring to such a situation. So what is the machloikis of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abadas. Hakel Moidim. This is what the Rashbam explains to Gemara. That if we try to calculate the date of the document, and we make this calculation, it turns out that the shtar was written on a Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, where clearly it obviously wasn't. We assume, as we just explained at great length, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yossi, to shtar mo'uchav v'kasha. That's the pshat of the Rashbam. Rabbeinu Gershom has a different pshat. The Rabbeinu Gershom says that if the shtar itself indicates that it's shtar mo'uchav, it's certainly kasha. But that's not the pshat we're going to learn. Lo nechalku, the machloikus, says the Gemara of Yosef Yehuda, is when we have a shtar mo'uchav b'alma, a regular shtar, which is a shtar mo'uchav. The Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, and we're not going to explain this at length now because the Gemara is soon going to explain it at greater length. Rabbi Yehuda, who follows the opinion of Ein Kais from Shaver, therefore loy nafik minei churva, that nothing can come out detrimental by having a shtar mocha written, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds a shtar mocha is kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, Rabbi Yehuda, however, holds Kais from Shaver, and because Kais from Shaver, the halacha is that by writing, by having such a shtar, a churva could come out. A real problem could come out, and therefore Rabbi Yossi holds that under normal circumstances, a shtam ucher is possible. And as I said, soon the Gemara will explain this a little more in depth. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, I feel a man that Amar Kais from Shaiver, even according to the man that Amar Rav Yossi of our Mishnah, that says that if I make a partial payment, what we do is we write a Shaiver. Hani Mili, when was that said? Apalga. If there was a partial payment. So Rabbi Yossi says what's done with it when there's a partial payment is write a shoiver. Aval a kule, if it was a situation that the entire amount was paid up, loy. Then we don't write a shoiver. Says the Gemara, v'lohi, that's even incorrect. That's incorrect because afilo kule kasvinan. A shoiver receipt is written even if I make an entire payment. Ki'od Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef. Have a masik by Zuzi by Rab Abba. Rabbi Yosef had Rabbi Abba owed him money. Also, Kamed Rav Chaniba Papa. Amalei, Rabbi Yitzchak said to Rav Abba, Havli Zuzi, give me the money you owe me. Amalei, so Rav Abba replied, Havli Shtaroi, give me the shtar that you paid me up, Vishkal Zuzach, and I'll give you your money. Amalei, so Rabbi Yitzchak said to him, Shtar Chayrchisli, I lost your shtar. But I'm willing to echtavlon tavra. I'm willing to write you a receipt. Amalei, so Rav Abba said to him, Harav Shmuel Amri Tavayu, Rav and Shmuel both said, En Kais Fin Shaiver, we don't write receipts. Amar, so Rav Chanina Bar Papa said, Man Yavlon Ma'afrei de Rav and Shmuel Ramina Bar Naim. Rav and Shmuel were very great people. They were so great that I would take the dust of their graves and put it on my eyes. That's one pshat. I'll say another pshat in a moment. However, Harab Yochim HaRish Lakish, there's still the opinion of Rabbi Yochim HaRish Lakish, Dharma Tavayu Kais Fin Shaiver, that they hold you right as Shaiver, became Kiyas Rava Amr Abelah Kais Fin Shaiver, that they hold that the Shaiver is an option, and therefore, if the Shtar is lost, doesn't give the Loiver the option of not paying, rather he should pay and get a Shaiver. Another beautiful pshat I saw from the Shar Mitzion Balocha that Man Yovla Ma'afrid Rav Shmuel Rami Bainayin is that he was saying that a shayver shouldn't be written. Why shouldn't a shayver be written? Because that's what Rav and Shmuel said. So he responded to him. When we learn the words of great, even great people, people like Rav and Shmuel, we can't learn Torah like there's dust covering our eyes, that we don't need to understand what we're learning. Yes, Rav and Shmuel said that we don't write a shaiver. Does that mean that we automatically have to accept it like dust on our eyes? We have to understand what they're saying, and we have to see if we agree halachically it makes sense. Specifically, as he says, there were other Amoraim that disagreed, and therefore we just don't follow their opinion blindly. And in fact, the Gemara says, Mistabra, the halach, it seems sensible to say, is the kaisvin shaiver, that a shaiver should be written. This akadatach and kaisvin shaiver, if we're going to say that a shaiver is not written, it'll turn out, that if the malva loses his shtar, yocha halova chadi, should the loiva just have the option of keeping the money and never repaying? Ask the Gemara Maskul Abaya Velamai, what are you saying? Kaisvin shaiver? You're suggesting that a shaiver should be written? But now we have a different problem. That if the loiva loses the shaiver, he's at risk. Amalei Rava, so Rava says we'd rather that the loiva be at risk than the malva, because in Eved loiva lish malva. And the Rishonim explain, because the malva did the loiva a favor by lending him money, and therefore we're more concerned that the malva be protected than the loiva, or as we have many times, the Gemara uses the concept of kadesh leitinal delas b'fnei lovin. If a malva knows that by lending money he can be put in this type of risk, he'll never want to lend money, and therefore we are more concerned about the malva than the loiva. However, I saw that the paiskim say that even though we're learning now that if the shtar is lost, the loiv is the one that has to write the shaiver. However, certainly say the Rishonim already, that if there's going to be a situation where the malva doesn't claim that the shtar is lost, he just refuses to give back the shtar, then the loiv doesn't have to pay. And if some Rishonim that even want to suggest that if the malva isn't prepared to give the loiv back his shtar before the loiv pays, there too, the loiv would not be obligated to pay. However, Rav Kiva Eger says that even though Al Gemara paskins that Kaisman Shaiver, he says there's going to be an exception to the rule. What would be the halacha by Shtar B'Kodem? That means, if Reuven deposited something with Shimon, and Shimon wrote a Shtar B'Kodem to Reuven, and now, when Reuven comes to pick up his item, Shimon asks for the Shtar back, and Reuven says he lost the shtar. If there, since it's not a case of a loiva, Al Gemara says eved loiva lishmalva, but it's not a loiva; it's a shomer. There, the shomer could say, "I won't return your pikadon until you give me back my shtar. I'm not obligated to have to watch a shaiver." Similarly, the Paiskim discuss a situation where a shtar havo was written, but it didn't name explicitly the name of the malva. It's just an IOU. I wrote a document that says I owe you $1,000 and I gave it to the malva. And now the malva comes and says he lost the shtar. And here it is a case of malva and loiva. Here the place can also say that the loiva would not have to pay back. Why? Because since the shtar doesn't explicitly name the name of the malva, so if that shtar is now found by somebody else, he could collect with that shtar. So the loiva, because it says I owe you, it says the shtar, I owe you money with my signature, and whoever shows up with that shtar, I have to pay. Therefore, here the halacha perhaps would be, if the malva's name is not there, the shaiva doesn't serve as a way of protecting the loiva, and therefore the halacha would be that the loiva would not have to write a shaiva, the loiva would not have to accept the shaiva and pay up. Along the same lines, I saw a psak from Yitzhak Zilberstein. He says in certain stores, I've seen this in electronic stores, what happens is you buy whatever you want to buy, you pay, and they give you a receipt that you should pick up whatever you bought. Let's say you bought a camera, you could pick up the camera at the counter. And that's indeed what happened. I paid, I got my receipt, and before I got to the counter, I lost my receipt. And the question now is, can I say I never picked up the camera? And the people at the counter also agreed that I never picked up a camera. Still, the halacha is that I have no right to demand the camera. Because the halacha is that whoever comes with that receipt is entitled to a camera, and therefore it doesn't have to have any specific name on it, and therefore I am as honest as I am, I lost my opportunity. Tanan Hossam. So the Gemara goes back. We spoke before about the Shtari Choiv and what risks shtari choiv represent. So the Gemara goes into it. Shtar choiv hamugdomim. If a shtar choiv is a shtar choiv mugdom, the halacha is that it's possible. Machloikus rishonim, to what degree? Some rishonim say that it's shtar choiv mugdom is possible, that we can't collect from lekuchis with a shtar choiv mugdom. Other rishonim, however, suggest that a shtar choiv mugdom is possible to the degree that it's completely invalid. For mecharim, but a shtar choiv mu'uchar is kosher. Amar Rav Hamnuna, says Rav Hamnuna, lo shano, when do we say that a shtar choiv mu'uchar is kosher? Only shtari halva. Avil shtari mekach hamemkar. When we're referring to shtari mekach hamemkar, the halacha is afilu mecharim nami psulim. My tamo. And the Gemara gives the reason. Zimna de mazbelei aram benissen. I'm going to sell you land in Nissen, the cost of late, but we'll only write mocher, we'll post date it, that the shtar was only written, the shtar was that a date of Tishrei. And now, umasramele zuzi beni beni, the seller has money, gets money between these two dates, vizamele menei, and the seller repurchases back the property that he sold. And as the Rashbam explains, it was very common that when a property was in those times, that when a property was sold, they would indicate that the seller is selling the property, but if he could find money to repurchase it, he gets the right to repurchase it. And that is exactly what happened. Reuven sold the field to Shimon in Nissen. The state of the shtar was only in Tishrei. But in Tammuz, Reuven got the funds to buy back the field from Shimon. Zomelimenei, and he buys back the field in Tammuz. V'chimotei Tishrei. Now when Tishrei comes, Mapiklei, the buyer takes out the shtar that he has. V'omelei, hadazomdiminach. He says, I bought this back from you. Yes, I bought it from you in Nissan. Yes, you bought it back from me in Tammuz, but I bought it back from you in Tishrei. Because of this concern, we should not post-date a shtar mekach. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, if so, that we have this concern, shtar halva nami, we should have the same concern by shtar halva. And many Rishonim point out that the question of the Gemara that's asking now Ihochi has nothing to do with this question, has nothing to do with the previous point. The concern that the Gemara raised is such a strong concern that should apply by shtar halva nami. Why should we not be concerned? The zin and the yazub in Nissan, somebody's going to borrow money in Nissan, but the shtar will only be written in Tishrei, or Masram Mele Zuzi Beini Ubeini, and money will become available to the borrower between Nissan and Tishrei, or Parle, and he'll pay up his loan, Varmele, and the borrower will ask the lender, Havli Shtaroi, give me back my shtar, Varmele, and the lender will say, Irchisle, I lost it. And we just learned in the previous piece of Gemara that in such a situation, Kosle Tavra. What he does is he writes a shtar, a shiver for the loiva, indicating that he paid up. Now, when Tishrei comes, mapikle, the malva will take out the shtar and say, Hani hashtu yazapinoi. Yes, you borrowed money from me in Nissan. And yes, you paid it up in Tammuz. But that has nothing to do with this new loan that was written now in Tishrei. Ksover, the mandama that holds that you're allowed to write a shtar mocher obviously holds ein kaisvin shayver. Now we could understand the Gemara that we saw before, the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, if a shtar mocher is kosher. If we hold the kaisvin shayver, then a shtar mocher will be possible for the concern that we just indicated. If, however, we don't write a shayver, a shtar mocher by alva will be kosher. Amlei Rabbi Yemiel Rav Kahana, Vamlei Rabbi Yemiel Medifter Rav Kahana, Vidna. But nowadays, Kesvin and Shtar Mocheri, we do write a Shtar Mocher, and we do write Shaver. How could we understand that? So we spend, Rav Kahana replies, Basta the Amalur of Abin Lasafri, Why do we do this? Because we follow what Abba told the Seifrim. What he said to them was, Kiksiv Shtam Uchri, when you write a Shtam Ucher, Ksuva Hachi, write into Shtar, Shtar Delan, Loibes Manikasvini, write explicitly into the Shtar that this is a postage Shtar, Elach Rinovikasvinu, so we don't have to worry about a Shoiver. Because even if a Shoiver will be presented, we'll know that we have that this was a shtar me'ucher, and therefore the malva will not be able to claim that this was a new loan. Have asked the Gemara, Amalei Rav Ashler Rav Kahana, ve'idin de loy avdin hachi, where in shtar me'ucher we don't write in automatically that this is a post-dated shtar. What do we? So how we're back to where we started? How could we have a shtar me'ucher and shoivrim written? Says the Gemara, "Basta amuler of safra l'safrei kiksiv lahani tavri." If you know the date of the original document, kismu, write that date into the receipt. Eloi, if not, kisvu stamu, don't put a date into the shayver. The kol emes the nafik. So whenever the document will be produced, l'reyei, the receipt will negate the document. In other words, if the shayver has a date which is before the date of the shtar havah. So now we have a problem that shtar havah could be used against the loiva. But if the shoiver doesn't have a date in it, we don't have to worry. Because just like we'll say that the shoiver represents the payment of the post-dated shtar. Amle Ravina Lerav Ashi, Vamle Rav Ashi Lerav Kahana, Ve'idna, the Loikov Dinan Hachi. Nowadays we write post-dated documents, and we write shoivrim with the date of the shoiver. How do we reconcile this? Amar Rabbanan Tekunin Tekunin. The Rabbanan made up rules. The Rabbanan said, if you're writing a shtar mu'ucher, do one of two things: either put into the shtar mu'ucher that it's a shtar mu'ucher, or if a shoiver is being written, don't put a date on that shoiver. So man the ovid, whoever follows these remedies that Chazal gave him is fine. Somebody who writes a post-dated shtar and then writes a shoiver without a date, he's taken that risk, and we don't have to be concerned. He should have known not to write it. The Paisk, the Rashba, just to end, says that one should avoid l'chatchila writing post-dated shtaris, writing a shtar mocher, because it's mechsi kishikra, it doesn't look honest, and a Jew has to always be careful to be as honest as possible.